Hey, I'm just letting you know that in February 2023, I am speaking at my friend Andy Storch's event in Sonoma, California. It's called the Talent Development Think Tank. I'll be running a session on marketing your workshops. And on day three, I'll be hosting the 2-hour workshop blueprint session. I'd love to see you there. Head on over to leannehughes.com/thinktank. Enjoy the episode. Coming up next on Leanne Hughes's Work and Live Large.
What did we do? We had those certain acupuncture points we activated, which we're showing
on. Hand on your belly button. One hand on your belly button and then the other just under your collarbone at the top of the sternum. There's a little dip and you rub that and that's your brain battery.
It honestly works.
Life's too short. You're here to work and live large. Here's your host with nothing to lose, Leanne Hughes.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leanne Hughes, and I'm here to help you work and live large. Today's guest is Donna Weber. I met Donna in Las Vegas when I went there in February. If you want to listen more about what that trip was all about, listen to episode 1 of this podcast. It was interesting. When I met Donna, she came over and introduced herself. And before, like, it took me a while for my brain to click, but I recognized her voice first before actually recognizing, like, who she was by looking at her. And that's because I've been listening to her book, Onboarding Matters, on Audible, like maybe a month before. And I had no idea she was coming to Vegas. So I was just a little bit confused, but it was so fantastic to spend a few days with her in Las Vegas. We hung out, we went to multiple dinners with the rest of the group. And as part of Alan Weiss's event, Donna and I were sitting in the same area. So during all the small breakout activities, we got the opportunity to chat, get to know each other. So today is a great excuse to reconnect with her and share her expert experience in the customer onboarding journey. And that's because Donna is the world's leading expert in customer onboarding. For more than 2 decades, she's helped high-growth startups and established enterprises create customers for life. As a recognized thought leader, influencer, strategist, advisor, author, and speaker, Donna gets to the heart of customer success. As I said, her new book is called Onboarding Matters, How Successful Companies Transform New Customers into Loyal Champions. And when she's not orchestrating customer onboarding, you can find her outside hiking or cycling the hills of the San Fran Bay Area or kayaking the waters of California and beyond. You can learn more about her work over at donnaweber.com. In this conversation, you'll hear how Donna discovered her niche in onboarding that might give you some clues and some tips on how to discover where you focus your time and energy as a consultant on. And she asks the questions on how you can deliver value to your clients immediately, even if your product or service takes months to deliver. So how can you give that value up front? I think it's a really great question to even open up. What can onboarding look like for your business? She shares her 6-step onboarding process, as well as energy hacks that you can use when you're going off 3 hours of sleep, which is what I was doing in Las Vegas. Donna really helped me get through the second day. I was on struggle street. But if you watch it on YouTube, she'll share, like, you can see what exercises that we were doing there. And of course, we had the very famous rapid round at the end of the conversation. Details to contact Donna are in the show notes for this one. You can visit podcast.leannehughes.com. Or like I said, watch the conversation on YouTube. Just hit subscribe when you're there. And I, 11 out of 10, love connecting with listeners. You can connect on LinkedIn or Instagram at Leanne Hughes, all linked in the show notes for this one. Reach out, let me know what you learned from this show. That's it for me. Enjoy the episode. I'm super pumped to welcome onto the Work and Live Large podcast, Donna Weber. Donna, it's so good to have you here today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Leanne. I'm excited for our conversation.
I'm excited to catch up again. Now, Donna, one thing I was very clear about doing today during our podcast was to stand up for this podcast conversation. I've got a stand-up desk now. Donna, we met in Las Vegas, and I know you are all about keeping yourself active, moving around. Do you want to share a bit about that before we sort of jump into the conversation? It just reminded me before.
I'm standing up right now. I find when I'm speaking, I like to stand. I just feel like it's kind of, I don't know, I have more energy. But yeah, I pretty much don't start my day unless I get some sort of activity. Ideally outdoors too.
Mm. Yeah. And that was a good thing about Vegas is that the weather was so good. Now, tell us a bit about yourself. I mean, people that I've mentioned your introduction, I've said a bit about how awesome you are. Can you just tell listeners what kind of pivots or watershed moments really brought to you to the work that you do today in the field of onboarding?
Sure. Well, so I help high growth companies transform new customers into loyal champions. And there's a couple of things I want to talk about that were some pivot points. I've been thinking about this. And something triggered from looking at your LinkedIn profile. There's like the team management something you do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Team management profile. Yes.
Okay. So I did that. Oh goodness. Like I would say in the last millennium, right? So it really was an aha for me because what I didn't fully understand was that I am a promoter, a beginner. Like I like the beginnings of things, and I've worked at a lot of startups where I love, like I built organizations from scratch and it's so much fun. And then when it starts running smoothly and that there's that administration phase, I would get bored and I'm like, oh God, you know? So I just find the administrative stuff. And I know people who love all that managing and keeping things running, but once it's running well, you know, I like to see it running well, of course, but once it's running smoothly, I want my next challenge. So that put the bug in me that one day I'd like to do consulting because then you get to stay in that kind of building phase. Otherwise you have to keep changing jobs, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other thing, another watershed or pivotal moment was I had at my last job, I was working with, I saw some gaps and suggested that we really address customer success. And so I got invited to join the senior leadership team and then own the customer success initiative. And at that point, we weren't really owning, you know, we weren't really customer centric in the way I felt we needed to be. And that became the seeds of what I define in my book, Onboarding Matters, of the orchestrated onboarding framework. And we built out, and I detail that journey in the book. But we built out the seeds of, you know, how we could work together to really drive customers to value. So that was a pivotal moment as well.
It's good that you reflect on some of those tools, because I think sometimes you can bring them into organizations and people like read the report and sort of throw it away, but something really stuck with you. That team management profile, by the way, they're based out of Brisbane, their head office. So that's kind of cool.
They? Oh, yeah. I was working at Siebel Systems like in, I don't know, like 1993.
There we go. And I think it was born in the 80s. And also the awareness of you like the variety as well and being there at the beginning. I'm with you. I the maintenance phase like really bores me and it's time to move on. What I love about your focus, I mean, first of all, can we just applaud how crisp and awesome your elevator pitch was when you explained
what you do.
How long did it take for you to land that line?
Well, I think, you know, I'm always playing around with it. But when I started my business, I met with a couple consultants, other women who are highly successful. And one of them said, niches is riches. So find something, you know, specific. And so I was like, oh goodness. Okay. I got to think about something, you know, that's specific. And then somebody else kept saying, hey, what's your hashtag? What's your hashtag? I'm like, I don't know. But, you know, and now I tell people who are starting off as consulting, you know, take time. You know, you're not just going to wake up with like, this is my specialty. But just stay aware. So for me, there were things that were really obvious. So my umbrella that I work in is called customer success. And it involves, you know, support and services and sales and account management and education. And there were some gaps in there. I just kept going like, why isn't anyone talking about this? It's so obvious to me. And then I started to realize like, oh, that's where I have something to say here. And then I started writing and articulating that. And then it started becoming more clear that was my sweet spot. You know, you and I are connected through the Alan Weiss community, and Alan talks about you're good with the Venn diagrams, right? your skills, your passion, and then the market. And I definitely had the skills and passion. And, I think there was a point where I was ahead of the market, but now luck or foresight have positioned myself where I'm now the world's leading expert in customer onboarding.
I love this story. It's so reassuring for people, particularly me, 3 years into business, still trying to figure out that Venn diagram. It can, you know, sometimes it's tight, sometimes it's like, but it's like you said, it's just about staying aware. And what I like about your example as well is that you started creating content around it, consolidating your ideas. And now the timing is perfect, but you have done all that groundwork in the lead up to this.
And
yeah.
Well, in the writing, you know, I learned from my friend and author Tara Moore. So she wrote the book Playing Big, which I recommend a lot, to write for yourself, because the writing for yourself, it helps you to know, like, to articulate what's important, but it also helps you to see what turns you on, you know? And so the thing with onboarding is like the more I like entered into the world of onboarding, the bigger it got for me. It's not like I found myself stuck in a corner. It's like the more I talk about it, the more I realize there is to learn and share. And it just gets me so energized. So I really have found what's right. So, you know, when people are trying to figure out what's where they need to focus, pay attention to like how your body feels. Because, you know, if you're like, oh God, here I am talking about this again, then it may not be the right thing. But if you get like excited, you know, if you get energized, then dive in.
I love it. And same with facilitation. When I started my podcast, First Time Facilitator, everyone was saying, how will you get past like 10, 20 episodes? And then the more that you discover, the more that you like there is to discover. Yeah. And I think you find that with onboarding as well. Let's talk about onboarding, because I'm really keen. Most of my experience with it has been like internally through the employee experience. But as a consumer, we know what good onboarding looks like and what terrible onboarding looks like. And yet we still see companies focused on getting new clients and like pulling out the reach and like trying to get as many people in, but onboarding is often overlooked. What are you finding in onboarding in terms of just generally, what are some trends that you're seeing with companies now that they, when they start to put it in and focus attention on it, what tends to happen?
Well, first of all, it amazes me that this kind of, I'm trying to think of a polite word to use. I'll say old fashioned sales model is still so common. I mean, so many companies are subscription models now, and there's so much focus on that, you know, initial sale, the new logo, close a deal, end a quarter, cram them in. And like, you're not going to be able to onboard those customers and deliver value if they're not the right fit. So that surprises me that that's still the case. There's still a misperception that onboarding equals implementation. So I work with a lot of highly complex software solutions companies that provide platforms that may be, you know, very, very challenging to integrate, and there's data to migrate and tailor and customize and APIs, you know. But to them, it's all about check the products live. And these high-tech companies, and maybe a lot of companies, are so fixated on their products, they're not really thinking about the customer. So I am really fixated on delivering value. Can you deliver value in, you know, some morsel of value in the first week? Even if your product takes 3 weeks or 3 months to deploy, people want that. They need, they get an endorphin hit when they get value. And in the consumer space, we're getting pretty addicted to instant gratification. And so we need to start delivering some of that with the B2B business to business space as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. One thing I did with my online program last year, and it was okay, because like I'm a one person, like one woman band, and I had about 50 people enrolled for a program. So what I did was like I shot just videos to welcome everyone in, like 50 videos. And I was like, at the end of like 20, I'm like, okay, I've committed to this. I've got to keep going. But it was like, you know, it was really hard to keep up that enthusiasm and energy for that. I'm one person. Like, is personalization really important? And I go, you work with software companies so that they have the ability to use data.
Yeah.
What's happening in that space?
Well, I do see personalization will be more important. I do see that the relationship is becoming more and more important. Mm-hmm. So then, and I just I put together a video that I posted on LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok yesterday, or today, actually, this morning. Yesterday, your time, about a hybrid approach. So what I see is interesting is that in the last 2 years, you know, we've had this world where we're all at home and ordering things online, which is digital. Yet we are getting all these home deliveries. So where I live, I see people showing up, delivering coffees, delivering lunch, delivering dinner, delivering diapers. And there's like a vans that park outside on the street that are doing dog grooming right there at that, you know, feet from the house. So that's becoming more and more personalized. And and there's an opportunity using AI to deliver that personal touch at scale.
That's good. That's reassuring.
Yeah. So maybe next time you work with a company where they can just plop in somebody's name where it makes you look like you're do a deep fake video.
Do a deep fake. That'd be hilarious. Well, I could just put myself anywhere, right? I could be like, hey, I'm from Darling In. I mean, that's when you start thinking, I mean, what you've just done is like plant an idea and you think, wow, there's so many possibilities to do this like in a really fun and creative way that still reflects your brand values as well.
Mm-hmm. Can I dive in there?
Yeah,
so I have a couple examples of online, business to consumer purchases. So I ordered cosmetics online and an eyeliner pencil, right? And I got just like, it was like a 2 to 3 second video of the best practice for how to apply the eyeliner. And that's onboarding, you know, because now I don't just have an eyeliner, but now I'm getting value from it.
Mm.
And then also I ordered a bra online and they sent like 3 little photos of like, you know, lean over, scoop, tug, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, because I'm not going to be happy with the bra if it doesn't fit right. So just little things like that. It's, you know, wasn't a huge lift, but it just helps make sure that they're delivering a best practice. So I'm going to get some value right away.
Yeah. Those are cool examples. And I think now that we're sort of sharing how important onboarding is, I think if people listen to this, they'll become more aware of what's actually, you brought up the word awareness before, aware of what's actually happening and maybe what they can potentially bring in. With your, do you want to share your orchestrated onboarding sort of sequence with listeners just quickly and give a quick update, like so they can start thinking about how it could apply to their business, whether they're, you know, work in asset management or a consultant or a software business?
Yeah, sure. So I go into detail in my book, Onboarding Matters, and there's 6 stages. And I know people who have used this as trainers, coaches, all sorts of businesses. So it doesn't have to be a high tech, but that's what I mostly dig into in the book. And the 6 stages are 1, we have embark, then we have a handoff, the kickoff, the adopt, the review, and the expand. And so I'll go into each of those very briefly. So embark is providing the big picture overview. Now, the thing is that most companies dive right into the weeds of the how, of the what and the details. People get overwhelmed. So I like to start with a big picture strategic overview, helping people understand what was purchased and why and where we're going on our journey together. Next, we have the handoff, and this is especially important if the sales cycle is long and if you have a higher touch, but it passes that internal relationship from the pre-sales teams to the post-sales team. But there's also a customer handoff where you help the post-sale, the project team on the customer side learn from the buyer what was purchased and why, because too often the vendor will go and reach out to the project team and they're like, who are you? What are you doing here? I'm too busy. You know, I might lose my job if we implement your project. Your product. I'm not going to work with you. So you got to get that alignment. So handoff is all about internal and customer alignment. And then we have the kickoff. That's stage 3. And the kickoff is what most software companies jump into. They close the deal.
That's usually the step 1 for many. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when you start getting into the tactics and the details. So embark is big picture strategy. Handoff is alignment. And then you're ready for the details. And the thing is, when companies jump into the details, like they're like, oh, but we move fast. It's okay. They end up having so many problems downstream that it slows them down. So when you move some of this stuff and address it, you slow down just a little bit, you're going to be able to move more quickly downstream.
Mm-hmm.
Then we move into the adopt phase, which most companies would call implementation. But just because your product goes live doesn't mean there's any value there. So I like to include customer enablement and adoption and change management in there as well, if appropriate.
Yeah.
So, and then we move on to the review stage, which generally that would be stage 5. And then the review stage is just to check in, especially in a high touch. Hey, how'd onboarding go? But it's good to get some customer sentiment at that stage. And then stage 6 is expand, because it's just because that you've gone live with your product Your onboarding's officially, you know, you've officially checked the box, doesn't mean you're done with onboarding, because there might be new users. Like a lot of companies, they have high turnover. So just because you train that first team doesn't mean you're done. You know, I talked to the head of customer success, the chief customer officer at a company that has a big project management platform, and they do the first kind of training, but then, you know, they have this land and expand approach. So they're expanding across organizations, but they're not training any of those other users. So they're, you know, that's going to really limit their ability to deliver value in that account.
Absolutely.
In addition to new users, you're likely, your product's always updating. You have new products, new features, and you might be rolling out to new organizations. So, you know, your product updates, or you have a new product that you need to onboard customers. It may not be a whole nother formal onboarding program, but you still need to, you know, deliver value. Just because you roll out a new product doesn't mean people know what to do with it.
Yeah, actually, I've got a one of the software tools I use is called Hello Audio. And I do, like, from time to time, I'll do, like, so that's to create private podcasts. But they'll do some really cool things where they'll talk about a new feature, but it's not about, we've got this new feature and this is what you can do. Now they go, this is how you can use it. This is how it'll add value to your clients and your customers. And here's a case study of how it's worked.
Oh.
Yeah. Because usually with updates to any type of software tool, like Zoom does it, but it's like, oh, okay, delete, delete, delete. Like, tell me how I can actually apply this. Yeah.
And also where it fits into what you're already used.
Yeah, that's it. The Embark, you've just given me an idea here, because I'm just thinking of a recent client engagement I've got where I'm helping them with an offsite. But what we're sort of jumping into is, like, we've kickstarted the call, then we're, like, moving into, like, really, like, logistics and kind of, but we really have to step back. And I think even on my website, it might be useful. Hey, when we start an engagement, hey, this is how it's going to be mapped out. And
yeah, so you might have an Embark stage or a success plan. And, you know, I do that with my clients. So it's just me, pre-sales, post-sales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing any handoffs, you know.
Yeah.
But I found I got into trouble with a company I was working with, because I assumed the buyer had communicated to the project team, and that had never happened. Mm-hmm. And so important objectives were never communicated. We were all blindsided by this deadline that she never communicated, that was never communicated by the chief customer officer. So I was like, oh, I need to use my own best practice here. So I included in the kickoff meeting, because I don't have a separate kind of handoff, but we go through the success plan together. And so that everyone on the project team knows what the goals and outcomes are and the objectives, and they might disagree, and they get to have a voice around that. Mm-hmm. And we also do a RACI model, which is who's responsible, accountable, consulted, and informed. Take some time for that. I get everyone's contact info. And we also talk about escalations and, you know, how to resolve them. And, you know, when I meet with customer success teams, they're like, I don't want to talk about, you know, problems. But, you know, we're all here to be successful. So if there's some blocker, you need to address that immediately. And I will get the chief customer officer or the CEO's mobile number, and will and have called them when there's stuff not moving forward, because my job is to deliver value. And so if we just let this kind of simmer and get worse, nobody's benefiting. And I've called up and said, you know, there's a person on the team who's blocking. You know, how are we going to deal with this? Here's my recommendation. And we deal with it.
So good. Because, I mean, right at the honeymoon phase is the beginning. Things will go beautifully. We all agree. We all have time to work on this. Everything, you know, the plan looks great. But, of course, we all know what it's like, those speed bumps. And I love that you anticipate that. But something certainly, just talking to you now, because I was listening to your book from more of a perspective of how can I help clients. But now I listen to it, I'm like, okay, I really need to do it for my own business first, mm-hmm. to see how it works, and really role model that as well. I've got a question for you around memberships. Like, you mentioned subscriptions before. I don't know if this is directly related to onboarding. I had a program last year, 2 years ago, a membership community. I ended up closing it down. But what I found really hard was what you talk about, possibly related to the expansion part of your framework, is the initial onboarding was so great. We had opening ceremonies. The atmosphere was great. And then those poor people that joined like 3 months later, like one or two people would sign up. I tried to replicate the experience. I couldn't do it. That's the hard part. I think, you know, I love, like you, like the launch and the excitement, but then afterwards it's like, how do I maintain this? Any tips or ideas on that? Is that the expansion part or back to onboarding.
Yeah, that would be an expand. Well, yeah. I mean, you might have a little, you know, welcome video that is you just send out to every new member. So that would be a way to do that in an automated, scalable approach.
Yeah.
You know, you might scale back that initial onboarding so it's not like you missed out. yeah. You might, you know, other thoughts are if it's a community, you might have, you know, mentors assigned to new members. So they're getting some great touch, you know, experience that maybe doesn't have to come from you. And that's set up at the beginning. Hey, as our community grows, you know, part of your responsibility of being in this is to, you know, take someone new under your wing and get them connected. Mm. So those are some ideas.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea, actually. Yeah. And actually putting the accountability on group members, because that also enhances their experience as well. Like having the responsibility is good for them because it gets them more involved in the community as well. So how long have you been in consulting? I want to talk about the live large part as well, because I know something you're very passionate about is being like healthy. One thing that you did in the Vegas session was like, because I think you could see that I was like just struggling with my energy. I was jet lagged. I had no sleep. What did we do? We had those certain acupuncture points we activated, which were showing
on your belly button. One hand on your belly button and then the other just under your collarbone at the top of the sternum. There's a little dip and you rub that and that's your brain battery.
It honestly, it works.
And you can switch hands. And then that's it's the top of that kidney meridian, K27. Mm. And then the other one is rubbing your ears, just kind of opening them up. And there's acupuncture points for your whole body on your ears. It's called auricular therapy. And when you rub, just kind of open them up and rub your ears, that's another way to kind of refresh your energy.
Oh, it really did. It really woke me up and I felt so focused.
Your whole energy changed that day.
Full, and it really did.
You were like in the downward spiral.
I was really bad. I couldn't even think. We did a breakout activity brainstorming and I couldn't even form a sentence. But you and Amy were very patient with me. we got it back on track. How, like in terms of incorporating health into the way that you live and work, how do you navigate that? Because I mean, life is full of demands. It's really hard to.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just talking to someone who I'm getting coaching with on Monday. Like my to-do list, I mean, I got notebooks, I got lists online, I got, you know, I just have all these ideas and things to do, and I just never seem to get ahead of the curve. And she was saying, well, that's part of being an entrepreneur and an innovator. You know, you're full of ideas, but just because you have ideas doesn't mean they're always going to be immediately done. So that helped me to go like, oh yeah, like just keep capturing them and see where they go. Like I said at the beginning of our chat, the day pretty much doesn't, well, the day does not start unless I do some writing that's in journaling and meditating and exercising. Those are like my, you know, my must do. I call them my morning meds.
Oh, I like that. Have you trademarked that? Got the domain name? That's good. Because even though I remember after the dinner we had in Vegas, like you like, I have to go for a walk. And
oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, no, I won't do that. I'll go straight to bed. And then I didn't sleep. I was like, I should have gone for the walk because that would have helped me sort of.
We walked. I was exhausted after that walk. We walked like 2 miles.
That's awesome. It was like, yeah, quite late at night as well. But you still had more energy than me.
And I try to get out during the day. Like, even though I'm working from home, I'll walk around to the corner and back. It's a 6-minute walk, like a third of a mile. But I call that like my commute before I start the day. So at least I'm getting out, you know, or try to go for a walk after lunch or after dinner.
Yeah. Midday meds. Hey, something I like about business and life is that, you know, things can just happen that completely change the trajectory of what we were thinking, like nonlinear breakthroughs. I've just got a question for you. Have you ever had like an opportunity or something where you've said yes to, you couldn't believe it, or something's happened where you're like, I can't believe this has happened. This is so great. Pinch me.
Well, I would have to say the success and the feedback I'm getting from my book has just been beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I really worked hard to write a book I could be proud of. And people are telling me, like, you know, how much it's helping them. People have told me that they've redesigned their onboarding and their comp structures for their customers and their internal teams. They've rolled out premium packages from reading the book. And several people have told me it's the most practical business book they've ever read. So
Donna, that's amazing.
Yeah. And the day I won a couple book awards, I was just like, oh my God. And I was on top of the moon. Yeah.
I'm so proud of you. Can you just for listeners, like, how long did it take from a conception of the idea to getting it out to the world?
About 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. And while you're in those 2 years, you got no idea how this is going to land with the world.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know, like, if you're a good writer or not.
It's so great to hear that, because I'm just working with Alan on my book sprint now. But congratulations to you on creating that.
Yeah, the big realization for me, I thought, well, okay, I'm done with the manuscript. I'm done. But there's the writing, there's the publishing, and there's the promoting. And I did not know that there were these three distinct phases. So I'll tell you to be prepared. There's the publishing and the promoting. And those are huge, big things in and of themselves. And basically, a book, you know, just because it lives on Amazon doesn't mean that people are getting value from it. So the promoting is really important. That I did not realize how important and the extent of effort that would take.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
And then another thing is, like, it was kind of like, oh, my book's out, so what's going to happen? But it takes time. You know, I'm coming up to a year that it's been out, and I'm getting more requests for speaking and keynotes. And so it's not like just because you have a book out suddenly, you're perceived in a whole different way. It takes time. So, you know,
that's always the advice, isn't it? Like, patience and just keep doing, being consistent. And
the plodding approach, as I call it, I'm a plodder. You know, just plod along, do a little every day. And I think the collective, I don't know how much this aligns with Atomic Habits, but the idea is you're doing these incremental, kind of atomic, as in small, things every day, but eventually it creates something quite big.
Yeah. And I have seen that, particularly from your profile on LinkedIn, is that you've just been very consistent and talking about the topic. And as you said, when we spoke back about in Vegas, like, it's so hard to believe that, because onboarding is such a big element that no one's talking about. And now you're suddenly, like, you are the global expert on it. So I think it's so cool that your daily, so you're prodding the 2 years in advance, all of it has come to this time. I just find that really encouraging, actually. You know, when just that timing of, I don't know, it's, and you don't know when you're creating it. It's just something that lands. Okay. Let's move to the rapid round.
Okay.
There's a few questions. The rapid round. What is a book that has shaped the way that you think?
Well, let's see. Can I do more than one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one is Deep Work by Cal Newport. I recommend it a lot. It really helped me write my book, because he talks about how important it is to give ourselves this undistracted, focused time. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've got, you know, texts, WhatsApp, Slack, email, you know, LinkedIn. That's just a small handful of platforms where I'm getting pinged. And, you know, I just have to shut everything down and give myself permission to focus and not interrupt myself. It's not even so much external interruptions. It's like, oh yeah, I want to look at some shoes, you know. Oh, I need to, what's the weather for the weekend? No, and I actually set a timer. So then it's like, no, I can look at the weather in 3 minutes. So that's been instrumental, because I think it really did help me write my book. And just this morning, I'm writing an article. And just this morning, I was like, right, set the timer. Just focus on this right now. Sure, there's a million things to do today, but this is the time. And another one that really helped was Designing Your Life, which is by two professors at the Stanford Design School. And they also have a book, Designing Your Work Life, which I have not read. But I read it with some peers, some other consultants. And it's not just a book. There's exercises that you need to do. So if you just read it, it's not transformational. But when you go through it, some of the things you do, the exercises are to track your time and to track, like, what energizes you versus depletes you. And that really helped me to go, like, I love researching. I love writing. Those are the things that really fill me with energy. And that, I think that's really helped me to kind of, you know, shape my business as well.
I love those interactive books. I'm going to grab that after this.
And then I'll tell you, say one more thing. So there are five of us who read it. One person quit her job and became a full-time musician. Another person took a coaching training program. Because she was thinking about it. And the book talks a lot about doing prototypes. So how can you prototype? So she wanted to do coaching and she started just doing kind of prototype coaching and eventually became a certified coach. Another one took up banjo lessons. Mine was I wanted to be a yoga teacher, but my prototype was I took more of a weekend course to do a yoga, is kind of yoga fusion type of thing. And I became a yoga and fitness instructor as a result. Oh, we all made in major changes as a result of reading this book together.
Oh my gosh, that's great. And I like the power of doing it with a group as well. It's actually really exciting. Yeah, because you can sort of, just get out of your own head and talk about it and get feedback. And the idea of prototyping and piloting something before jumping right in reduces that risk as well. Thank you. Is there a favorite? I mean, we're talking about just switching off the apps, but do you have a favorite app or tool that you think we should all download?
Well, I like that. So I have it's called Tomato 2. It's the Pomodoro technique, a little timer. And so I use that when I really need to focus. So that's one. Another one is Focus at Will. And I have an article I wrote about this. I can send to you. Let me just make a note. So it's called Focus at Will and it's specialized music to help you focus. So it's like, now I'm entrained so that when I put that music on, it's like, it's time to work.
Sweet. I love that. Yeah. Okay. I needed this conversation because I've been just, what is the weather? And just jumping on my phone, then you just land on Instagram and 15 minutes later, what am I doing in my life? What is a song that gets you fired up?
Well, one of my songs is Don't Stop Believing by Journey. And then I do whitewater kayaking and sometimes I get scared. Often I get scared. So I created this, I changed the lyrics so that I sing that when I'm kayaking. So keep on believing and just a kayak chick, going down the river kind of thing. And so that kind of keeps me like, okay, just keep kayaking even though I'm scared.
Yeah. that's such a great song. I thought you were going to say, one of mine is Queen, Don't Stop Me Now.
That's a good one.
It's so good. But you can definitely contextualize the lyrics depending on what you're doing. So I'll take that idea on. Donna, do you have a favorite quote that you'd like to share with listeners?
Oh gosh, nothing's jumping out at me today. I'll see if something comes back.
Yeah, no problems.
Oh, well, no, I got one, like one day at a time. Sometimes it's like 1 hour at a time. Sometimes it's 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
You know, I think to be honest, like sometimes I think, well, if I was just more like peaceful or centered, I'd be able to deal with the whole day. But maybe the true, enlightened, I don't like that word, but being more present is doing 15 minutes at a time or one breath at a time, So sometimes like when I'm feeling way overwhelmed, I'll just do like, okay, just the 1 hour at a time. I can just do this 1 hour and everything kind of calms down for me.
Yeah, that's really good. Particularly as you said, we're being, your example of being barraged like with pings on every single app, you're just trying to figure out, there's so many things that are going on in our lives. I think it's nice to sort of segment that time and chunk it. And an app that the Tomato 2 app that you mentioned that could possibly help with doing that as well. Donna, if listeners would like to get in touch, find out more about Onboarding Matters, the awesome work that you do, where can we send them?
You can go to my website, donnaweber.com. That's DonnaWeber.com. 2 N's, 1 B.
Easy. Okay. Put a link to that in the show notes and as well as a link to LinkedIn and the articles that you write as well. We'll share it. Donna, it's always a good opportunity to connect with you and I love doing it on a podcast so we can share all your great work with the world as well. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thanks, Leanne. I look forward to continuing our conversation soon.
You're the best. Thank you so much for tuning in to Work and Live Large. I really appreciate you. If you know someone in your network and you think, oh my gosh, they've got so much potential, like I want them to live and work larger, send them this episode. I think they might appreciate it. I also appreciate hearing from you, your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, anything. You can shoot me an email, hello@leannehughes.com, or find me on LinkedIn, just search for Leanne Hughes. Stay up to date with all the episodes by heading on over to leannehughes.com/subscribe, and all the best with your week as you go around living it up.